check this out. This is Fresh Fit Out the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the Blunt Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C-Murder.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfuckers.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Busy Paul.
Vice One.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Brand.
What up, what up, what up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is a show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records, reveal the addition of rappers that are coming up, get them put on. We need to the platform to fight the mainstream. This is the show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on screen and follow with Wizard.com. For all of your needs, production and mixing and mastering, graphics and download and time. Check out the archives and touch with the shows. Plenty of content and viewed it, did everything free to download and stream. Oh yeah, we deserve the real.
I'm a man-made guy, crazy knocking all you rappers off. It's underground society, it's curious of life, dog. Hip-hop ain't dead, represent for the legend. Rapping mumble rappers, so we sitting on the hip. Two pocket beats, dreaming, thank you for the bliss. It's a murder master music show. Free the homie gangster, I see these rappers on these streets. I got my job about to blow. Stay up on that raw shit, uncut street shit.
Keep it
up
forever, bitch,
we coming
in a song. I see you feeding for the show.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy Prez. Welcome to the Murder Master Music Show. This is episode 685. You know what I'm saying? We're going back down to Alabama. We were just there with the homie Kenny Thomas, you know what I'm saying, about a month or so ago. Shout out to him. We're going to go down there again with G-Main. Been doing it since the, you know what I'm saying, early 90s. You know what I'm saying, 94, 95. Definitely had some history. Alabama is, you know what I'm saying, one of those spots. I mean, you know them for, you know, groups like Dirty, a few other acts, you know what I'm saying. But there's a huge underground market in Atlanta, Alabama as well. You know what I'm saying, right, being right next door to Atlanta, you know what I'm saying, to Georgia, you know what I'm saying, there might be a little overtones, you know what I'm saying, maybe some Florida, but I think Alabama's got their own style. I think it's more gangster orientated. You know what I'm saying, you listen to groups like ROA and you know what I'm saying, stuff like that. It's a little more hardcore street. But man, we're gonna let G-Man come on and tell his history right now. Let's bring him on. G-Man, welcome to the show, man. How you holding up, man?
Hey, man, I'm doing good. I want to thank y'all, man. It's an honor and a pleasure to be on, man, for real.
Oh, man, it's huge honor to have you on the show. When the homie Sin told me about you, he said we got to do a show with G-Man, and I was like, all right, man, let's do it, man, because you've been doing this a while. Like I said in the beginning, you've been doing this since the early 90s. When did you get your start, and what was the Alabama rap scene like at that time?
I think we started probably around, we started early 80s going into the 90s, but we got serious about the business probably around, maybe around 93, and my partner went to school for music business and went to UNA for music business, and as long as you were a student there, you could use the studio for free. So he went and took the class because, you know, we really couldn't afford studio time.
Oh, that's a come up at that time because the studio prices at that time were ridiculous.
Yeah, for real. And then also, too, you know, the engineers around here, they ain't know nothing about no hip hop. They couldn't engineer no hip hop. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was really a lot of country and R&B stuff. So, I mean, my partner Sean, he just learned, man, and we used to just come up with some stuff, man, and that's how the original, like our original group was called the Soul Kitchen. But, you know, later on when we found out after Dr. Dre had left Death Row and went to Aftermath, we found out his production crew was called the Soul Kitchen. So we had to change our name, and we wanted to keep that SK logo, so that's how we turned into Slave Camp.
Now Slave Camp, that's a hard name right there too. You know what I'm saying? You guys put out some classic projects. We got some music on the board we're going to play later too as well. What was the perception of Slave Camp when you guys first dropped? What did the people think about it?
Well, honestly, man, people was really, really loving it, man, because the original Slave Camp, it was more like a collective, like a Wu-Tang thing. It was a collective like of a lot of the groups just from around here in the area. So it was probably about six groups. The second tape we put out was like a compilation of all the groups around here. And that was the original Slave Camp. But, you know, as time goes, you know, everybody kind of want to do their own thing, so... We kept the name, and we kept like four or five people stayed, and those four or five members became Slave Camp, and we put out our first project, A Day in the Death of America, and oh man, you know, it did its thing. It was really accepted. You know, we didn't really have nobody to teach us the game, so we were just kind of learning the game as we went along. You know, wasn't no internet or nothing, so whatever game we could pick up out the magazines, or, you know, hear Jay Prince talk, or whatever E-40 had to say, you know, just picking up little tidbits of game here and there, man, and, you know, being out the trunk with it, you know, like a Too Short, you know what I mean? So we just had to do that out the trunk game and start to travel around, man, and, you know, and just get out here hand-to-hand combat with the tapes, man, and then eventually it turned to CDs, and, you know, we just kept it moving like that.
Did you guys go to a lot of the music conferences back then? You know what I'm saying? Stuff like Jack the Rapper and different things?
Man, we went to, we've tried to go to everything we could go to. Like I said, you know, a lot of it we could catch what we could because, like I said, it wasn't no internet. And, you know, you might hear about something and you might not hear about it till after. You know what I mean? Or they might put it in a, like we found out about Jack the Rapper through the magazine. It might have been I can't remember what the magazine was back then. it might have been like Right On or something like that. You know what I mean? Like
Right On,
like
Word Up,
way
yeah,
back. Yeah, it might have been Word Up magazine or something like that. You know, that's how you found out about stuff. So, you know, any conference we could go to, anywhere where we could get some DJs to listen to what we was doing, man. You know, we'd have a couple of vinyl pieces. We was just trying to get out there, man, and sell our story.
Yeah. Did you have any labels looking at you guys at that time? Like Luke Records was down there, and anybody, want to sign y'all?
Actually, a couple of the offshoot, we got some from direct from Universal, but then, like, you know, some of the little offshoot labels, you know, off of Universal and off of Columbia and stuff like that. But I don't know. I think the thing about us, I don't think we ever really wanted a deal. I think we like the idea of being independent and going out there and making our own money. And
doing,
I don't know, there's something about that. I think that we like, you know what I mean? And then, like, we would get the contracts, and, I mean, we redlined them so bad and sent them back that, you know, didn't nobody want to deal with us because we wasn't for the fuckery, you know what I mean? So we just wasn't ever for the fuckery. So, I mean, maybe they just thought we was too smart or, you know, I mean,
well,
I don't know what it
region,
was. But
though. I mean, you're down there right there in the south, east, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, Miami, Atlanta. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You guys do a lot of shows over in those spots? Or?
Like, we used to do, aside from here, we did a lot of shows in Mississippi. We did a lot of shows in South Tennessee.
That was
mostly our two spots, you know, anywhere around South Tennessee, Shelbyville, Pulaski.
Y'all right.
And over in Mississippi, we had Tupelo and Jackson and, you know what I mean? So, Holly Spring, I mean, like, you know, like you say, it's underground, really. So, you know, like Nashville, like, I remember we did shows, like, with Serving the World Click and Black and Jay and, you know, people like that out of Nashville. And, you know, we messed around.
Black and
Jay,
man, it was hard, man. They did some stuff with CeeLo. You know, I reviewed Affiliated for Life, I think it was. Real good album.
Yeah,
that's dope that you were serving the World Click too, man. They Nashville, they had Nashville on lock at that time.
Oh, yeah. And see, we hooked up with them through a guy up there named Clayface. Like, Clayface really put us on in Nashville. Like, he got us some shows and everything up at Nashville. So, you know, big up to Clayface. He was rapping at the time, but, you know, he was more of a promoter. But he just knew everybody in Nashville. He was just a street cat from Nashville, man. He really, really put us on up there, and we was able to make some money, man. Like, he was a first guy took us to Kentucky Derby. Like, I never knew that, like, over on the block, it would be a strip at the Kentucky Derby where people were just selling stuff, going up and down this strip. And
oh, yeah, Louis,
everybody's like, yeah, man, it's crazy. Like, I never knew, but he took us up there, man. We had a blast, man, made some money, did a show right on, set up a stage on the side of the street and did a show, man. It was crazy, man.
Yeah, hell yeah, man. You know, because that was a great time for rap in the South. I mean, you had so many, and then you got Memphis right there, of course. So many people putting out tapes. What about Alabama, though, at that particular time? Who were some of the other acts that were putting out tapes and CDs at that time?
Around that time, let's see, like ROA had been out for a minute. Let's see, around the time Slade Count was bubbling, it was groups like Red Light District, Birmingham J was starting to pop down with Cottage Boy Music, Deuce Comrades was popping, Small Town Ballers was popping down in Montgomery, the Lawn Boys down in Montgomery. I mean, the talent always been here, man. It's always been. We ain't never lacked talent at all, you know what I mean? So, who else was popping at the time? I mean, we had the Store Music and more, you know what I mean? Which it got destroyed in a tornado not long ago, man. But, I mean, it was just a lot of stuff popping back then. It was an older cat that kind of led the charge on that. His name was Ali Shabazz. He was an older cat. But, like, he helped us with the, he started, like, the mobile, the hip-hop mobile stage. He started bringing a lot of the rap acts down for Juneteenth Festival out in Anniston. Like, he started a directory which had, like, a lot of the acts. It had all the hip-hop clubs. It had, you know, any DJ you wanted to hook up with. You know, like, it was a real thing. You know what I mean? And he was the spearhead of that. You know, rest in peace to Ali Shabazz. But, like, he the one turned me on to a lot of these hole-in-the-wall clubs, and I was able to go make me some money. You know what I mean? So, I mean, he was that guy. We didn't always have a thing.
It's the guys like him behind the scenes that really helped hip-hop thrive, you know, and keep it going throughout the years. You know, also shout-out to Charlie Braxton over in Jackson, Mississippi.
Yeah, Charlie Braxton, yeah, man. That's my guy.
You know,
and I met Charlie,
you know,
actually.
How long have you known Charlie?
Let's see. Man, it's been, yeah, I know more than over 10 years, because when we got distribution up at Selected Hits, J-Dog just took us in his office one day, man, and, like, went through his Rolodex, and we talked to anybody we wanted to plug up with, and anybody we didn't ask to plug up with, J-Dog plugged us up with him. So, Charlie was one of the first. Yeah, Charlie was one of the first people he called, man. And I took, like, once I got to talking to Charlie, I never stopped, man. Like, you know, I don't only just talk to him about music, just talking about life, you know what I mean? That's my Uncle Charlie.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's
Uncle
dude,
Charlie.
Right,
like,
yeah,
we done had him down here to speak and everything, man. Like, he's a good guy.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, it sounds like you connected with a lot of the right people, you know. At what point in time did you start doing solo stuff?
Probably around, well, like, even when the Slade Count was going on, like, we put a couple of projects out, 96, 97, then I put a solo project out, 98, and then we put another Slade Count project out. So when I went all the way solo after Slade Count, you know, just decided to disband, that was probably about around 2000. And I got with I got with my partner Chubb Fresh, which is actually who I started out with early, a guy named Chubb Fresh. And we worked on an album called A Collector's Idol, and that's the first project I put out solo through his imprint, Straight Off the Chain Records, and we had distribution through Selecto Hits for that as well.
Oh yeah, definitely. We're going to, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go to a song, and then we're going to come back. I know Sim wants to chop it up with you for a while as well. Let's go to this one here, man. I got two of them loaded up, and of course we got a Classic Slave camp track. But the two I got loaded up is Day Is Gone and American Psycho, man. Which one do you want to roll with first?
Amidst we going all this stuff going on, let's throw that American Psycho on and give them a little bit, you know, for the time right now.
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. We'll be right back with G-Maine. Don't go nowhere. Murder Master Music Show.
They say this probably gonna be the last president. The next elected gonna seem like he heaven sent. Have a united nation and one government. Control you, your family, your dollars and cents. Put your seeds in the liquor and the cigarettes. One thing for certain, things showing, three things you can bet. This world promises you kids that death and taxes. While we sitting sideways, spending on his axes. Day and night, now your days just go on and on. I would've called you, but I think they found my cell phone. Illuminati told them, watch me when I change my name. Malik, Ali, Muhammad, it's your partner G, man. I grew up here, I make thought it was on some cross shit. Hell no, bitch, I'm on some Holocaust shit. Fire falling out the sky like it's the last day. Begging the Lord to forgive me for my pathways. American Psycho. Sunday on the porch, six buzzing money going on inside the house. Real gangsters know just what I'm talking about. Laws in the teeth, politicians are freaky. Laws on the TV talking about they trying to reach us. I'm paying no attention, this is funny, so I laugh. Why they children coming at me for my autograph? They know that I'm the Ram, I'm walking down a path. If you choose to step and say this motherfucker bad, they mad at me now, but how the hell is I'm a preacher? Without the music beating hard, coming through your speaker. I do this for my people, that's out here going hard. Single mama, baby, daddy, children, never left a guard. Got court system fucked up, especially for a black face. Think they want us all locked in shackles in the first place. Got us wanted dead or alive, shot on sight. Killed in real, red or the blue pill. American Psycho. And my partner smoking loud in the parking lot about 3:30 at the after-hours spot. Now I'm waiting on a fried chicken sandwich, breaking on a blood rider, talking to a bad chick, trying to get inside her. Just when the law came in, sat beside me, said, we need to ask some questions. I said, nah, not with me, Coach Jack. I don't know nothing. Talking about a shipment of drugs. Man, I sell music on the internet. I'm a Negro thug. Drag me out, tried to beat me like Rodney King, till my partner came down with the click, bang, bang. Talk about it on the CNN live. Trying to stay alive by any means necessary. Every now and then, like it kind of scary. I'm gripping on my pistol, drinking liquor, keep my nerves calm. Smoking chill, cold sweat, like a Vietnam vet. Going through it, y'all, one for that, one for steel. In the game, first they shot at me. Now IRS wanna audit me, holy follow me. Baddest bitches wanna holler at me, use me to get to where the dollars fit. Trusting no one but Jehovah, cause the folks act like they know you. Put a bullet in your brain, now it's over. American Psycho.
Yeah, we're back right here on the Murder Master Music Show. That was American Psycho by our guest, you know what I'm saying, G-Man, on the show tonight. Yeah, man, that shit's hard. That shit's definitely hard. I love that guitar, G-Man. Man, what is that on? Is that on your latest project or something you got coming out? Or?
No, that's actually on a project I put out a while back called Mark of the Beast.
Mark of the Beast. Okay, man. That guitar.
It's out there streaming on all the platforms. So it's produced by Malibor Block Beat.
Yeah, most definitely pick that up, man. Speaking of these crazy times, before I turn everything over to Sin. I want to ask you, man, what's been going on, from your standpoint with this coronavirus? You safe where you're at? Do you know anybody that has it at this point?
I don't know anybody that has. Like I said, I've just been hearing a lot of people that say, you know, this person got it or they know somebody that got it, but it's not I don't know. I ain't saying it ain't nothing, but I don't know. I'm one of them people. I don't scare easy. I'm an introvert anyway. So they were talking about doing a lockdown. It didn't even really bother me. I still been able to go to the places I've been wanting to go, and you know I ain't had no problems. You know I ain't been out here wearing no mask or nothing. People looking at me crazy, but, you know, it is what it is, man. Like, you know, this too shall pass.
It started off where people were looking at the people with masks like they were crazy. Now if you don't have a mask on, it's the opposite. It's fucking
right,
nuts.
And I'm like
how are we
gonna
get back?
I don't know, man.
That's the crazy thing, you know. It's like,
I mean, I don't think it's going to get back to like it was. It's like I was looking at some interviews, like, you know, it's kind of like American gods, man. Like, they're trying to get rid of the old gods and bring in the new digital gods. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I guess you can kind of look at it that way, like, you know, because
that's
a lot of, like, while everybody, a lot of people concentrating on this coronavirus, there's a lot of stuff going on right now. You know what I mean? While everybody's concentrating on this coronavirus, it's really distracted from stuff that's going on, like the economy, like smoke and mirrors, like a lot of businesses finna close down. A lot of these businesses not gonna bounce back. You know, the economy finna change. The world as we knew it not finna be the same after this. Like we were talking about how like the music game and show been slowed down right now. Like ain't none of us doing shows. Ain't none of us doing no DJ meet and greets or going out to shake hands and kiss babies and promote no product, because, I mean, we can't do it right now. You know what I mean? So, you know, what clubs
know
are going to be open when we come
that,
back from this?
Closes doors for good, and he had a steady stream of people that would go to eat at his spot all the time. You know what I'm saying? People are just...
Hey, a lot of people having to do that. A lot of chains having to close down. I was reading the other day, the movie theaters were talking about they might not be able to bounce back and open back up. So this might be the whole thing where all this Netflix and, you know, Hulu and all these channels you can get for $10 a month. You know, all this might be going to take over
everything.
The theater stuff.
Yeah. Digital currency, digital everything. Buy
everything
from home. Have your groceries delivered to you. Just stay in your fucking house and don't do nothing. It's like a movie.
That's what people do.
Like,
it's crazy, man. Yeah, you know,
it is.
You're putting yourself in. You're making a prison for yourself. They ain't got to put you in prison no more. You're going to make a prison for yourself because you ain't going to leave the house. You're going to order all your clothes. Like you said, you're going to get your groceries delivered to you. You know what I mean? You can sit at home,
like,
listen to all the music you want.
The future.
It's
the
crazy.
Futuristic.
It's crazy right now. It's crazy.
It really is, man.
We're trying to see how we gonna bounce back on this music thing, because, like, you know, what clubs are gonna be back open? What venues are gonna be back open for people to perform in again? Like, you know, we got to really look at this stuff, man.
You're gonna have to do like a pay-per-view live stream concerts. You know, where cats pay X amount of money to see you perform. Yeah, I mean, you know, people are creative. They'll come up with ways and different things to do things like that. Like the UFC guy, Dana White, he's going to rent out an island and have fights.
Yeah, talking about getting an island. Yeah.
And they said they're going to have a lot of boxing guys come over there, too. So, who knows, we might see Fury Wilder 3 over there. You never know. Somewhere. Before I let you go, though, what are your thoughts on the Deontay Wilder Fury rematch, man? That was a pretty lopsided fight, it seemed.
No, man. I think Wilder going to regain the crown, man. I think he's going to take the crown back, man. I really do, man.
Come out
like
more
said, man, he,
next time?
Yeah, I think he's going to get some help with some more technique. Like they said, man, he just needs help with better technique, because, you know, he a knockout guy. He not really no point guy. you know, he need to learn how to get them points. That's what Mayweather do, man. Mayweather ain't never been no knockout artist, but he know how to get them points. And that's what boxing
needs
is.
To work on the footwork.
Fine for getting them points. Yeah. Got to, man.
You know.
Got to. But like I said, I think he's going to take the crown.
He's an enigma himself, man. He's so big, but he moves like he's a welterweight. It's just unreal. You know,
right. He's right. He can ball, yeah. I ain't taking nothing from him at all. Yeah, he just gotta, you know, like I said, he gotta become a boxer. You know, Wilder's a fighter. He ain't no boxer. He gotta become a boxer.
Yeah, yeah. Just throw a lot more punches. You know, try to keep him off. But personally, I don't think he should have went for the rematch right away. I think he should have went for Joshua, because I think he could beat Joshua. And there's three or four belts right there, you know. But
he got time now.
Yeah, we'll see what happens, man.
Because he got time to get it together now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, most definitely. Well, hey, G-Man, it was real nice talking to you, brother. Here's the homie, DJ Lord Sinister from France, man, who set up the show. Sin, how you doing, bro?
Yes, yes, sir. Hi, Scott. Hi, G-Man, legendary Alabama. How are you?
I'm doing good, yeah. Man. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, it's cool. I would go back to the slave camp days you had back then in the group when it was in 1997 and before it even 1993. And you started off with a GQ, Wise Up, Lalo, and a DJ 7-Eleven. Can you tell us about these days and about... you're performing about this group, and also you have a unique sound in it. For me, it was really the Gambo funk, you know, the Gambo funk sounds with a South Sound blues, jazz, inspired music, a lot of bass. Can you tell us about the Slave Camp days?
Okay. All right. Well, like I said, like the guys that you just mentioned, like I said, these were the guys that were left over after we did the first compilation. So,
yeah.
We kind of just we went and bought our own equipment, you know, didn't know how to use it, had to learn how to use it. I always say this, like, we weren't the only group from around here, but we're the first group that made it a business. Like, we went and got a business license. We went and got an office above the record store. You know, that was our office, our rehearsal room, and our studio. We used to rent our recording equipment every weekend. Like, I make tracks all week, and we rent recording equipment over the weekend and just knock out as many songs as we could knock out on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
I think about the song. Yeah, you have a unique sound in this group for me. And a song like Chad Drops, it was crazy, crazy song. Crazy dope.
I mean, like, I was actually doing all this stuff back then. Like, I didn't plan to get into production, but it was kind of just thrust on me because, like, we couldn't always get in touch with the guys that we want to get in touch with. So we just eventually just, you know, went and bought our own keyboard, drum machine, man. And my friend Sean, the one that, you know, went to college so we could have a studio. He read all the books and learned how to use the equipment. He showed me how to, because I ain't never been a guy that would read books to learn stuff. I'm always, you show me how to do it and I can do it. So he would read the books and learn how to do it and show me how to do it. And that's just kind of how I learned production. I was just always in the deep bass, you know, Magic Mike. We came up off the booty shake music, so, you know, the bass was always there. And, you know, the blues, like we got a big shot house. There's a lot of shot houses around here, you know, all of them play the blues. So we sit up and drink and, you know, had to listen to the blues because that's what they was listening to. And, you know, of course,
you know,
a child coming up in church.
You have in so your family some people who was into blues or groups. Or I know in the South, a lot of the parents or grandfather who are into blues music. Did it was the case for you? Or who you listened about blues and sound back in the day?
Back then, it was probably like Bobby Rush, Bobby Womack, Johnny Taylor, you know, stuff like that. B.B. King, of course. You know, they played a lot of that stuff. And then my dad was a DJ, so, like, I used to get everything. I used to hear everything. So, like one of the first records I owned was a musical youth, the guys that sung Pass the Dutchie on the Left Hand Side. You know, that was probably the first album I ever owned as a child. You know what I mean? So, but, like, I heard everything. Like, my dad would bring home, like, test pressings of David Bowie, and like I got records of Madonna before she got with Nile Rodgers, you know what I mean? Like stuff like this. Like my dad, like he was a radio DJ and a club DJ. He used to play, he played guitar and piano and drums a little bit, you know, played them all by ear. So I think that's why I get my thing. Like I never wanted to take no lessons or nothing. Like I always played by ear like he did. Then I got an uncle, he was in a band called the Soul Serenaders. You know, it was big back when Muscle Shoals Sound and all that was, you know, first getting that thing on. So, but they cut some records at Stax, and, you know, they had a couple singles out back then. But, like, he plays horn.
Yeah. Got a dope song back the day. It was Pepper Chase. You can feel really the deep blue sounds on your tape, where it is, as the name G-Man. Can you tell us about this one, this Paper Chase song?
That was just, I mean, I was just always writing songs, like anybody tell you, like, they can tell you from back in the day, they knew I was this was what I was going to do. Like, anybody can tell you from my childhood, because I was just always writing songs or beating on a table or doing something. But I knew when we did the first couple of Slave Camp projects that I was going to do that Realities project. And, it kind of
just—it
was just a culmination of like a lot of my friends that were going to jail at the time. You know, they needed somebody to speak for them. You know what I mean? Some of it is my stuff. Some of it, you know what I mean? It's just a mix of a lot of different feelings and emotions and people.
Yeah. When when I listen to Pepper Chase, it's the same of when I listen to AOA. I listen to the deep south. Like I say, it's a deep down south. We in the deep down south.
Oh yeah.
And the same when I listen to Green Wade, songs like The Drought, or you listen to Deep in the Game, or Capital Punishment Click. You know, when I be down, you have this deep blues sound. You have unique in the south. It's really unique when you listen to that. Can you tell us about the southern feel in your music and even the down south? Way different from New York.
I think it's kind of just in us here in Alabama. It's a lot of ghosts in Alabama, you know, as far as writers and musicians. Like right here where I stay in the Shoals area, it's the home of the father of the blues, W.C. Handy. You know what I mean? He didn't invent the blues, but he the first one to put it on paper. You know what I mean? It make it universal. Then also, you know, we got Fame Recordings and Muscle Shoals Sound, and you know, this is where this the hit recording capital of the world. Everybody came here from Aretha Franklin to Rolling Stones to, you know, everybody. You know, like this is where Percy Sledge is from. You know what I mean? Recorded When a Man Loves a Woman, probably the most re-recorded song in history. Like it's just a lot of ghosts and just a lot of hits have been written here. Like it's you know, just people write songs here, might live in the middle of a cornfield or something, but they're getting them checks. You know what I mean? So it's just something, like they say, it's something in the water here. Something in the water.
Yeah, and you have a lot of Alabama scene. I think about the last Mr. Big, rest in peace, who only if your new album was crazy. Do you know him well? The last Mr. Big, he was a dope MC from the South, also from Alabama.
Oh yeah, that was my guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mr. Big, that was my guy right there. we were getting ready to do some music together, you know what I mean, right? Because he was in the transition of moving, and you know what I mean? Then he had untimely death, you know what I mean? You know, rest in peace to Mr. Big. But, like, I've been knowing him for years and years, like, from Ron White, Rapid Pool back in the day. Like, you know, he was one of them guys, you know, from the early days, you know what I mean? Like I said, back when Birmingham Jay and, you know, like when all us was still doing the record pool, Big was coming through the record pool too. So, you know, he just started outworking everybody, you know what I mean? And, you know, met up with Juicy J and them, and, you know, he was able to take care of his business and not get robbed, you know, did the Poppin' My Collar record and a couple more records.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? He was one of them guys too that always remained independent. I think we kind of took, you know what I'm saying, a lot from him, because it's like he was one of them guys that never did sign, you know, with nobody for real. You know what I mean? Like, he always stayed independent, but he always took care of his business, and that was our main thing, to be able to take care of our business. Like, I don't think we were ever worried about just being super famous and all over, as long as we could get our check and take care of our family, you know what I mean, and be happy. I think that's all we ever really wanted, and that's really kind of why we didn't always stay independent, just taking notes from guys like that.
It's crazy because he was independent, and at the same time he was recognized by 36 Mafia. So, <that's dope>. But you have a lot of people who are from Alabama. You have the producer Rick Rock from Montgomery. So it's crazy. He's recognized from the Bay, but he's from Montgomery.
Yeah, he's out in the Bay now. Yeah. I was chatting with him on Instagram not too long ago. We was chatting it up because, you know, we all got in the Alabama Music Hall of Fame, and I was trying to see if he wanted to send something, you know, to put in the exhibit. But we were chopping it up. I was like, man, I remember you used to carry the records for the Michael London's record pool down there in Montgomery. Like, he was the guy that brought the records in, you know what I mean? So, like, Rick Rock, it came a long way, man. You know, I always big up and I always give him his flowers, man, whenever I see him online, anything, man, because he was one of them guys we seen on the come up, and, you know, he left and did his thing.
They get, you like a lot of people, like Gucci Mane was from Birmingham, Aero A2, Yellow Wolf from Kasdan, O'Doherty from Montgomery, Dolby, rest in peace, from Montgomery too, G-Side, Huntsville, Alabama. Evan Drummer from Sylacauga, Alabama. I have a lot of people. Can you tell us about Florence, your town, how it was to grow up on there?
It was slow, you know what I mean? But, you know, we always had a good time, don't get me wrong. We always had a good time, and like I said, we done always had a music culture here. We always been able to do some music, you know. At the time that we were coming up, it was several clubs and things we could perform in, and you know, we could rent out some bigger venues and, you know, do some big things around here at the time. You know, all that shut down now, but at the time it was really, really cool. Like I said, Chubb Fresh was kind of like our nucleus.
Yeah.
Like he was to us what Kool Herc is to New York. You know what I mean? And that's just being for real. Like, if you done did some music around here, especially some rap, you probably done went to Chubb Fresh at one time. Not only was he the guy doing all the production and recording, he worked at the record store. So, you know, if you had some product you wanted to get in the record store, you take it right down there, you know, do your consignment and all that. So, like I said, it was slow, but it was cool. Like, you know, like I said, we got a big shot house culture here. So, you know, a lot of spots you can just drop your music off, you know, where guys be sitting up drinking, and, you know, it's just cool having a good time. And, you know, the gangs and the drugs was popping here real, real hard at one time. You know, they have a drug bust or two. I mean, it's just like any other city. It's just small. You know what I mean? It's like any other city, just on a small scale, for real.
Yeah. You was also into the Gangsta Gambo book of a legendary Shai Blackstone, my friend. Also, it was sad we have lost Jean-Pierre Labarthe, Mr. Gangsta
Gambo.
I was close friend with him. We live in the same town, so we see each other a lot of times.
And I really hate that I didn't take the time to come see y'all while I was in Sweden, man. You know what I mean? Because I had really planned to come down there and visit y'all while I was there, man.
Oh, yeah.
The time just kind of got away.
Yeah, I remember
from me,
that.
Man. But I still hated that.
Yeah.
I still hated that. But it was definitely a blessing, man. You know, I thanked him every time, you know what I mean, for putting me in there. Because, he didn't have to do that. You know what I mean? He really didn't have to do that. But, you know, that's history right there, man. That's something. They can't take that away from none of us, man. For real.
Yeah.
That's in print for all time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and we was also on Murder Dog Magazine, too, with J-Dog cover you on a Mid-South edition and all that. So you was covered, too. You go also in Europe a lot of time in Sweden, in Copenhagen, in Denmark. Can you tell us about how it was to go in Europe, to in Stockholm also, some city?
Well, it was kind of crazy because what happened, man, I got a show booked over there, a guy named Tony. I don't know if you know Tony from Level 8 Studios up in Stockholm. He had booked me a show. And because I was just saying I was coming, you know what I mean? And he booked me a show, and I was like, well, damn, I guess I got to go now, for real. So I booked me I booked me a one-way ticket over there. And I was like, you know, if we can make something happen, we make something happen. If not, you know, I just come on home. But I booked me a one-way ticket, man. I went and did that show, and some people saw me do that show, and I did another show. And some people saw me do that next show, and I did, man, I ended up doing like 6 shows while I was over there. And what was crazy in the mix of all of that, you know, I was trying to find me a ticket back home, and the ticket price had tripled. So I was like, I was actually staying with CP from Block Beater. You know, he done set up shop over there. He live over there, got a pad and everything, so. I just asked him if I could stay a little bit long. He was like, man, you stay long as you want to. So, you know, I told him the situation. He was like, well, shit, let's just start recording this album. And, man, we started recording. He was in Landskrona. We recorded a few songs in Landskrona, Sweden. Then we went up to Stockholm, man, and recorded the bulk of it. And, man, some guys came down from the Soul Division, came down from Norway, man, and we just all locked in, man, and ended up recording the Eurotrap album. And it came out great. And actually, I was over there long enough, we was able to shoot a couple videos and everything, man. So, you know, by the time I came home, we just took care of the business, man. It went great.
It's actually still going great. You was in Sweden like Carino was too also for performing over there. It's get to a dope experience.
Yeah. But I loved it, man. I had a good time, man. I can't wait to go back, man. I've been ready to go back every now and then. I was getting ready to go back at the time. Just unforeseen circumstances at the time kept me from going, but I'm going back soon.
Yeah, you got an album Sex, Drugs, and Money, and you got a song with Jungbang. It's Jungbang of Capital Punishment Click, right?
Yes, Jungbang.
Yeah, you tell us about this one. He was dope rapper too, from Nashville, Tennessee. And it was a good combination. Can you tell us about this one with him?
With Jungbang?
Yeah. With the song Sex, Drugs, and Money.
I actually met June in Huntsville, actually. And because he's from Memphis, actually. And I don't know, once we met each other, you know, it's like we met each other and got to talking, man. It's like we always knew each other or something, man. It was crazy. Like, that's my brother, man. Like, for real. I mean, it's crazy how it happened, man. You know, we just always linked up, and, you know, he decided he wanted to feature on some songs sometime. And I was like, well, come on, man, get on this Sex, Drugs, and Money with me. And, you know, that was the outcome of that. But that was another album I really enjoyed recording. We did it all in Huntsville. I don't know, we were kind of just all together super tight at the time, you know what I mean? We had a studio that housed about six different rooms to record in, so you could kind of just bounce around from studio to studio, you know, from room to room and record, man. So it was just a cool time.
Yeah. You got also, can you tell us about Mark of the Beast tape you did? You have the Fifth Person Test Subject, you have American Psycho. What was the message behind and all that? Humanity. Can you tell us about this one, Mark of the Beast?
It's kind of like just going back to my Slave Camp route. Like, Slave Camp was really a culmination of, like, Public Enemy and Goody Mob, I guess. That's who they used to compare us to, Goody Mob, all the time. But Public Enemy was, like, always our favorite group. You know what I mean? So that was just me kind of like, because I was always talking about, you know, other, like, a lot of street stuff, or a lot of pimp stuff, or, you know, just things like this. So I just kind of wanted to get back to my knowledge roots, you know what I mean? And throw that out there. Like I said,
yeah.
You know, I kind of feel when the times is coming, you know what I mean? Like, I recorded that album, I think, right when Obama got elected. And, you know, they always talk about the Antichrist going to be the smooth, charismatic dude. And so I'm like, shit, y'all better watch Obama. You know what I mean? So, but, you know, it turned out it wasn't he. It wasn't him. You know what I'm saying? So, but, you know, that's why I was like, you know, at the beginning of that American Psycho, I'd be like, it's probably going to be the last president. You know what I mean? Because, you know,
yeah.
that might have been it at the time. But, you know, and it's just giving some street knowledge on my guys, you know what I'm saying, or trying to stop that revolving door of the school to prison pipeline, and my guys going into prison, you know, one brother going into prison while the other brother coming out, or the son going into prison while the daddy going out, or the son in prison, like the story I tell on one of the songs on there, you know, the son going to prison with the daddy, you know what I mean? So, I mean, it's just a lot of stuff like
yeah.
that on that Mark of the Beast, some 5%, a lot of 5% of knowledge, and, you know, just some wake-up knowledge type stuff, reflection,
yeah.
look in the mirror type stuff.
You got this type of subject also of America and the young American KKK. So can you tell us about this one, like Cold War? Can you tell us about this song, the dope song?
Cold World, that was kind of me, like the whole album really is just me going back to that Public Enemy type stage, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That mindset, like that whole record was just, like I'm talking about, because I came up as a kid in the Ronald Reagan era, you know, it's talking about stuff that happened in the Ronald Reagan era, you know, the drugs, how they pumped crack into the community and, you know, took a lot of fathers away from their families and, you know, the cleansing, implementing the three strike rule and, you know what I mean? Just a lot
yeah.
of bullshit. You know, they took down the Confederate flag, like, you know, but that don't change the minds of people. You know, you can't change nobody's mind. They feeling the Confederacy got to be the shit, man. Whether get a flag flying or not, in their mind, the Confederacy gonna be the shit. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, got also the tapes, the American Way, and you got a song was Slow Leaks and Rats. Can you tell us about this one? It's a crazy song. Also.
Yeah, the Slow Leaks and Rats.
Dope.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, appreciate it, man. I got a lot of tracks. Like, those tracks came from a partner of mine out of Arkansas named C-Scale. And, mm-hmm. like, I don't know. he just kind of gravitated toward me, man, and, you know, we linked up. He was doing the, kind of the types of beats that I liked, and I think he liked the way I sounded over his stuff, man. I don't know, man. I used to just ride around. I just ride around and, you know, listen to the beats, man, and, you know, whatever comes to me. I usually come up with a hook or something first, and then, you know, I just work off the hook. So that's what came when I heard that track, man. I was like, yeah, the fofo click clack, AK go back. You know what I mean? Make all y'all get back. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it, that's a cool joint, man. Like, you know, slow leaks and rats, man. It's like, you know, the snitches. You know, somebody gonna tell you something. You know, before you do anything, it's best to do your dirt on your lonely, cause somebody gonna tell you something. Gonna be a slow leak or a rat.
Yeah, yeah. You released also Above the Law with Rich Reed. Can you tell us about this one, also the album, and the song Find a Way also?
That whole thing, man, like Rich was another one of the, Rich was another guy I met in Huntsville. And, he liked my voice, and was doing them kind of sampled up tracks that I like, you know what I mean? I like them old school samples and shit, man. So, you know, he was doing a lot of it. And he was like, man, let's just do a project together. So I actually went over his house, man, just went through. He was like, man, check out what you want to check out. I went through the beats and found some beats, man. And like I'd always wanted to use that intro that's on there. It comes from a movie called 100 Kilos. It's a movie about the real Rick Ross.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
like, yeah, so that intro, yeah. That yeah. Intro yeah. On there is from that movie.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I just came up with the concept. I actually got picked up, you know, on a little thing, and I had a mugshot, so the cover on that is my actual mugshot, you know what I mean? So, I don't know, Above the Law is just something that came in my mind, and I just worked all the tracks, you know, kind of around that title.
Yeah. We got also the Hash Project with the Demon Jams with a cover with Choose a Game. Can I tell us about the Hash Project you did? And, On the Corners, On the Corners track.
Oh, okay. You like that one? I like that joint right there too myself, man. That came about one of the songs on, I don't know if you checked out the joint on there called Rear View. Looking at my rear view.
Yeah.
Like that's one of, like that was an earlier track that I did with Demon James, and it actually went on a project he was working on. And we had did a couple of songs, and he was like, man, we sound good together, man. Why don't we work on a project? He's actually a younger guy. Like, he was when we did the Slave Camp, like, he was one of them kids 10, 12 years old that was listening to us. You know what I mean? So, like, he, like, you know, I rap because y'all was right. Y'all showed us that we could be rappers. So, you know, he was one of them guys. So, I wasn't doing nothing at the time. So, we just started working on songs, man, and, I was like, you know, we found the little skits for it and everything, man. And, you know, once we got to listening to it, you know, it sounded like a nice little solid project, man. And, you know, we got to going over ideas for covers and things like that. And I was like, man, let's do that old, True cover, you know, with the ski mask. He was like, yeah, so I got to do that up, man. But, getting back to the On the Corners track, man, I don't know. Like I said, we would just sit up late at night in the studio and just listen to the beats, man. And I don't know. That just kind of what came out. You know what I mean? Like, we was like sitting up drinking and smoking like we do. You know what I mean? And just playing around with a couple of things. And, you know, I don't know. I always liked to I was always the guy that had to, like, sing the hook for whatever, you know what I mean? Because, you know, we didn't have nobody to sing them for, so.
Yeah.
I just said, hey, man, I'll sing, and, you know, sung that hook, man. And, you know, the rest of it just kind of came out, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, but I like working with Reg. Reg is cool, man. I like Damon James, man. He's real cool cat. He got some projects out right now, and you can go check them out.
You did some also with G-Side, Relaxing. G-Side is also a group. Well, the South End Way also, the South End Sound. Yeah. It's good group. You work at also for a non-profit organization, Crossroads Outreach. Can you tell us about you help from homeless and all that philanthropy? Can you tell us about your action about it in the community?
Well, one thing I do is I do a thing called Feed the Shells. I do that on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. It's really just for anybody that's, they don't have no family or anything, or they might be homeless, or, they just might want to come fellowship, you know what I mean? Because, you never really know what somebody's going through. We've been doing that, the past 6 years. It's crazy because, after the first couple of years, I thought about stopping, man, but this lady came and pulled my wife to the side and was like, I'm glad y'all did this because I was thinking about committing suicide today. It was crazy, man. And I was like, well, damn, just that one person, what I mean? So, and she was somebody that said something. So just imagine how many people that might have came through there that didn't say anything, but they really needed that, what I mean? So we're going to keep that going on Thanksgiving. I also do coats for kids at Christmas where we collect coats or, people want to bring in a new coat or a used coat, and we take them to the kids in foster care. I got a lot of people that just, inbox me on the Facebook or the Instagram and be like, the kid need a coat, what I mean, because they wasn't able to get them one or whatever, man. So, I like doing that right there, man. And, blessings to everybody that helped to donate for that, man, because it helps out a lot of kids. It helps out a lot of adults, too, because I get a lot of adult coaches, man. We have a growing homeless population here. So, stuff like that helps, what I mean? Just speaking on that, I'm part of a organization called Crossroads Community Outreach, and they have a day space for the homeless. And, they can come and get them some food. If they want to take them a shower, they can take them a shower. We got a space for them. If they want to lay down, take them a nap, or, just get in out of the heat, or to get in out of the cold, or get in out of the rain, they can come and do that. So, I'm just blessed to be able to be a part of stuff like that. You know what I mean? I used to work for Boys and Girls Club. They actually shut that down here. So, but anything I can do to help out with the kids, anything like that, I go to the high school and speak sometime. They actually have a songwriters program over there, so I talk to them about the business and, making sure they take care of their business and stuff like that. So, anything I can do with these kids, man, I love doing stuff like that.
Yeah, right. Do you remember in the history of Alabama hip hop? Do you remember the first hip hop group over there in the 80s? Maybe do you remember one or some group or something?
Like I said, man, really the first rap group I remember was R.O.A. And I think that might have been 91, 92, something like that. As far as anybody before that, if it was, I don't know. Like I said, R.O.A. is the first that I know. But they always been some cool guys. Like, they very gangster, you know what I'm saying? But they some cool guys.
Yeah.
They take care of their business, Like Kano still selling beats right now. So, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So we would go with Day Is Gone, your song produced by Soul Division. Can you tell us about this one and the dope song too?
Yeah, this is one of the joints I recorded while I was over in Sweden for the Eurotrap album. Like you said, produced by Soul Division, they cool ass production click out of Norway. I got a couple records with them, you know what I mean? So, but like I said, it's the one off the Eurotrap album. It's streaming on all platforms. So y'all go check it out.
Okay, right. We will go on it, and we come back. Don't go nowhere. It's Murder Master Music Show.
Okay.
That's it.
Like I move 1,000 miles per hour. Got home, only had time to shit, shave, and shower. Then I'm heading back out, right after I blow my girls back out. Put the Benz in and pull the lack out. Got about 10 stacks out and threw it off in the duffel. Keeping chips like Ruffles, this is Alabama hustle. This morning I'm in New York, being sweetened by this evening. Drinking on some Carlsberg, smoking hash with the weed in. Red houses with white corners and U.S. become cronas. They know about your partner, I be hanging with the stoners and rock all microphones. Might hit your after party, but if the bitches in there is busted, we skip your after party before the... I'm country as a syrup, Sam is still doing damage. I managed to do it without a major. They hate me, damn it, cut the check, unrecoup. I might show ya, the game is sold, just like them old players told ya. Paper straight stack, it don't fold up. Been in corners spilling drank on my seat, hold up. Another sweet to roll up, light it, smoke it, laid back on the leather, listening to this dope shit. See me a sexy chocolate treat to me. Wasn't long before she was riding in my passenger seat. Wanna be my super freak before the...
from using any further obscenities in the presence of these people.
What?
I've warned you. I'll be forced to thrash you.
Fuck you!
Classic, classic. You can't go wrong with Samuel L. Jackson. Yeah, man, let's bring on our guest, G-Man. It's been a hell of a show.
Man.
You said I'm a squirrel sandwich, man. Yeah, man, you're killing it. Metaphors and bars for days, man.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Before we get out of here, though, I want to give you the floor, man. Let people know, you know, where they can go to check out your music, social media, you know what I'm saying? And then we're going to get out of here with this classic Slave Camp track, Teardrops. And if you want, just go right into it. Intro that track, brother. Thanks again, man. An honor having you on the show.
Hey, it's an honor to be here, man. Thank y'all so much, man, for real. You can find me at the best place to be Instagram at G-Main Music, G-M-A-N-E-M-U-S-I-C. That's on Instagram at G-Main Music. Like I said, I'm streaming on all platforms, man, Apple, Spotify, Tidal, Google Play, all that. So, you know what I mean? Just search G-Main, G-M-A-N-E. And I should pop in there, man. Got several projects You can also find me at gmain.bandcamp.com. You know what I mean? I'm still there too. All the projects there, probably got 20 projects on that Bandcamp, probably more than 20 right now. But like I said, several things floating around out there. If you want to check out some videos, go to youtube.com/AlabamaHustle, all one word, and go to the playlist to official videos, and you can see me and a lot of the guys from around the area, man. It's really bubbling, man. I think it's over 30 videos over there. So, like I said, it's me and a lot of guys from here in the shows area. So y'all make sure y'all go over there and check it out. YouTube.com/AlabamaHustle. Playlist, official videos. And that's that. And that's what it was. That's what it is. And right about now, we're about to go into this classic Slave Camp joint featuring myself, Derek 2X, and Laylo. Slave Camp, Teardrops.
I lost a brother, I lost a godmother. I can't cope with the streets. These niggas is killing each other. I'd rather be pulling the trigger than be the one to suffer. Sometimes I wonder, do black folks even like they color? Cause everybody know the government ain't thinking of you. They watch us die. This shit ain't no lie. I see my mama cry, but you know I try to help this world. Lady, dry your eyes, cause we gon' make it. And if I got to risk my life, but shit, they gotta take it. I'm ready to go to war, so don't cry if I die. Mama didn't raise no phony little nigga, right? I got something on my hip, she may get the extra clip. Now you want some of this, now you wish it didn't slip. Got you for your teeth and shit, turn it into management. Left the ass stranded, bitch, real niggas making hits. But if I die for this, that's just the way it goes. Mama don't have a fit, daddy got no parole. Must stay strong, cause life goes on. But if I play for this, just put my grave by this microphone.
Teardrops falling from my mama's eye. Mama, don't cry if I die. Close the casket at the funeral. I caught one in the face at the wrong time in the wrong place. Teardrops falling from my mama's eye. Mama, don't cry if I die. Close the casket at the funeral. I caught one in the face at the wrong time in the wrong place.
I spent 2 days in the hospital at 11 with a bullet in my hip. I thought I was gonna die until that spirit told me this. Read the Bible when you will understand. See, Samson was the strongest man, and one time he went out to kill about 1,000 Philistines. They lie, your fool Samson, yes, we all know, but that Bible tells us so. They saved his hands and clean as his hands, and this trip became the same as any normal man. I understand, so let my soul rest. I killed a young brother, 17, go through so much stress. He told me this, if I give you one more chance, promise you will follow my command and stay equipped. Don't let display your haters and the devil turn on your switch. You got to elevate your mind and know that you the best. And then and only then you can bridge the gap between failure and success. I said yes, I will complete my task, but I don't know if I can stop smoking weed in the last. But this the aftermath. Now I'm writing rhymes, hoping I get it right. No time to fight, I could have died that night. Mama, sorry all the pain I'm causing you. I never knew I was so busy off in this game. I know I need to make a change, but where I live, everything remains the same. These niggas are killing each other, robbing, shooting on the block. That shit'll never stop. Why shouldn't I carry my Glock and keep it cocked? R.I.P. the Tupac. Will they kill me if my music made it to the top? Just a thought, But mama, don't fault yourself if I die up in this game. Slain on the streets, red brain, so much pain. Will it change? I don't know. Hope so. When I go, let them know. Lay low, been here before. Making believers out of achievers. So can grow. This shit is hard, go. We need more black men thinking about heaven. Cause one day you hit and then you end up smelling. Now come on, how many people out there feel me? I'm just a young player stressing deeply in this game.
White man only has